I miss going to the movies. I miss popcorn, sticky floors, and end credit scenes. I miss the energy of trying to make it on time. I miss, well, you know, it's at least 10 minutes of previews. Nah, I want to see the previews too. I need to plan out the rest of my year. Have you ever been there early enough to play the trivia games? Oh, and don't let the theater be at the mall. You can meet up with some friends and you can be out all night. I even miss Movie Phone. Hello, and thank you for calling AOL Movie Phone. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, press 1 now. I miss the movies because for me, it was always an event. You remember who you saw the movie with, or if you meet somebody who's seen the movie, you go back and forth quoting lines all day. And art imitates life. So there's always takeaways and lessons that you can keep for when the movie is over. At least that's how I feel about it. Welcome to the Edge, folks. Let's get sharp.
I understand it wasn't a... I'm not hitting the record button. But, like, I understand why they ain't show him until, like, almost 30 minutes into the movie. That was smart.
That was smart.
Because at that point in the movie, I was already locked in.
Yeah. And you ain't know what you was fighting.
Bruh.
You ain't said
that. Send me home immediately.
Go.
Clearly, it's my time. Like, but...
I was not ready.
So anyway, I saw that first folks, little...
If you're just tuning in, this is the Razor's Edge Study Group, and I am on with one of my favorite people on the planet, one of my accountability partners. On Zoom right now is the one, the only, Rebecca Cherie Savage, founder of Grace Rose Studios, and my baby sister.
What a duke of people! Hey!
For so we kind of got started without y'all. We was talking about some current events. So yeah, we was talking about this movie we just watched, and we wanted to kind of break it down for you. And so yeah, away we go. Where'd you see the movie at? That's first of all.
Okay, so it was over the summer. So I was down in Georgia with the auntie. In Georgia, and I was actually sitting like in her kitchen. And the two little cousins was sitting in there. So Kai and Maya was sitting in there, and I was reading my book, and they came up and were watching stuff. I was like, y'all go ahead, make it, you know, watch TV, that's fine. I'm reading my book, journaling, and I hear this movie come on, and I'm like, okay, I pay attention, and I, you know, at Tomorrow World, I already knew it was like a thriller, like, you know, scary, but I was like, you know, Micaiah's and the kids, like, the kids is up here, we cool. All
right, it's the
kids. I'm not gonna be shook,
right?
So I'm watching it, and I'm like, I get 30 minutes. I was like, oh, this movie kind of good. I was like, it's funny. It's a great storyline. I was like, oh, I thought it was gonna go one way, then it went a different way. We get like maybe halfway through the movie, and little cousin clicked to see how much was longer, like left, and he was like, yeah, I'm not watching this no more. And he like, he's like. He like turned it off, and I was like, wait, like I'm invested at this point, and now I need to see what happens. This is why I don't start watching scary stuff, because I get to the story, I have to follow, like I gotta follow it through, to the end.
My God,
I'm like, I was like, man, I just and I'm like talking with him, that helps me diffuse the situation. So I'm like busting jokes with him while I'm watching the movie. I'm like, why are they so scary looking, these aliens, like why? And then I'm like, hey, do you think they got like, it's like a dinosaur mixed with an insect, do you think that's how that inspire him? So I'm asking these questions, not really to ask these questions, and but really to defer the fact that you're scared right now, Rebecca.
Terrified.
Rebecca Cherie's a shook, okay? And but I want to see what happens at this point. Are y'all gonna make it or not? And I need to not think fully on this story, or I'm going to get sucked in it, and it's going to freak me out. Yeah. He left me, and I was like...
But Kai dipped on you?
He dipped. And I'm like, bruh, like, you going to go play video games, but I have to watch it. And so I watched it, but like for like the last, the ending part, I had to fast forward through the last, like get to the point. Okay, they got to the point. I mean, I watched most of it. I didn't watch like that last fighting scene. I couldn't do it. I was like, I'm sick of looking at it.
Right. They were terrified. Yeah. Okay.
Man.
Let's just go and be honest.
That's one of the scariest to date for me.
Mm-hmm. That's like, I don't know if you ever seen the movie Aliens, but it was like them, but they were just way, way worse. Okay. Way worse. Okay. They had teeth everywhere. They ran like cheetahs. You know what I'm saying? They could shoot you. They could fly. It was just unnecessary. Why?
Like, I agree. It was unnecessary. I would have caught that it was scary. I get it. You want to fight them. You don't want them to take over. I get that. Mm-hmm. They had to look like that.
My thing was, if they supposed to be eating us, you basically went back in time and got more food because you were just dropping people out the sky. I know that. Look, the Lord has blessed. You said the Lord has blessed us once again. Like, look at this.
Look at this food coming in for us. He's faithful, is he not?
Yes, he is.
My God, on today, okay?
I know they was like, thank you, Lord, because they had a Sabbath. I don't know, in the movie, I don't know how good of attention you was paying, but they actually go in once a week and they rest, and that's what they call their Sabbath, because they literally only come and get you out of 6 days out of seven. Then on that seventh one, they rest. Mm-hmm. So they were just like, you know what, Lord? Thank you for blessing us with these vittles coming up the sky. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's hysterical. Yeah, they did have a day of rest. Mm. Hmm. Oh, that's good stuff.
That's scary. It was terrifying. But yeah, Tomorrow War. Chris Pratt, J.K. Simmons. I don't know who that black dude was. Funny black dude.
Oh, he's hysterical.
He was hysterical.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name right now, but I'll definitely add it later in the recording. But
wait, is he the professor? I mean, the really smart dude or the other dude?
Yeah, the smart dude, the doctor.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
who was like, he looked like a murderer, that dude. Like, I mean, yeah, but you do. Like,
yeah. The other black guy, I forget his name, but he's the brother of Alec, the dude from Leverage, the black guy. That's his brother. He was in it. Yes, that's his brother. I only noticed because you know how I feel about special features, and you know how I feel about Leverage. It's my show. But he guest starred on one of the episodes of Leverage.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Yeah, my brother got to come on the show." And I was like, "So when I saw him, I was like, now I gotta watch it. I gotta support my people's peoples. Yeah,
right.
I gotta support them." Mm-hmm. Okay, boom. Tomorrow War, you make it do what it do.
And for so you, but you know me, I gotta look deeper into things. It's not like I'm doing it on purpose anymore.
it just comes out,
right? So it's like, off top, I was like, you know what? Every single day we're fighting the Tomorrow War, because every decision and every action we take is affecting tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? So that was like the first big thing that I picked up off of that joint. Like, boom. Mm-hmm. There it is, right there, smacking me in the face. And then the next thing that I thought about was the whole generation thing. So like the future generation came back in time to tell the current generation that we need help. You know what I'm saying? So they were basically communicating with their elders, like, yo, we need some assistance here. You know, we need help, because we getting beat out here. We getting whooped. The human race is about to be extinct and we don't know what to do. So now we're going to our elders for help. And like, they flipped it to us. It was like a physical help. They needed bodies to go and fight this war. But in real time, in real life, that's conversations. You know what I'm saying? Like that's passing down wisdom from one generation to another. If dad goes through something and he goes through all of this pain and this turmoil in his life, and he has to fight with depression and anxiety and raising kids and raising a family, I shouldn't have to go through that same thing because I got dad. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
That just makes sense. Dad can tell me, hey, when I was in this situation, it ended up like this because I made this mistake. So mm-hmm. now I'm telling you, so you don't have to make that same mistake. So it's just right. this generational thing that jumped out like right in the beginning of the movie. And I'm like, yo, that's crazy. So.
Yeah, I thought that was deep too. Specifically when we were talking about when it comes to like conversations, because that's the biggest thing for me. I always mm-hmm. like to talk and to dig deeper into, I like to deep dive. That's kind of like what I do. I'm either going to like busting up with you and the laughing and busting and cackety cackety giggling generally shifts to something deeper because I'm intrigued. And the importance of having those real, raw, honest, transparent conversations specifically, I mean, in general, but specifically with like those family members, mm-hmm. like, you know, like both you and I struggle with suicide thoughts mm-hmm. and attempts and with depression throughout our lives. And I didn't know till later on that dad struggled with the same thing. Right. And then I didn't know till later on that his father actually committed suicide.
Right.
So I'm like, I wish that we had that space to have those conversations when we were like in our teenage years, mm-hmm. that whether I would have heard it or not, because y'all don't know what happens when we turn teenagers. Something just
clicks, and we think
something just clicks, and like I know everything. I'm 17, and you really can't tell me nothing, bruh. You right. really can't. But I do wish that we had those conversations then, because then I mm-hmm. felt like I would have had information to know that not only do I realize that this is something that is trying to attack our family mm-hmm. that's been passed down, but also daddy made it through.
Yep. He survived.
He survived. Mm-hmm. So if daddy can make it through, at least I know that I'm capable of making it through this season of my life and mm-hmm. that I can fight. Mm-hmm. And maybe my job is to fight in a different way. Do you know what I mean? But right. I think once all that came out, I was so grateful that I had the information. And now I think for me, I'm like, we got to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Nope. We're not keeping nothing else hidden. We're not keeping nothing else tucked away. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it out in the open, because open and honest conversations about good, bad, imperfect, whatever flaws, frustrations, everything helps other people.
Yeah, it does.
And because I didn't get it the way I guess I desired in the moment, but I thank God for how it unfolded and how it kind of came out. Mm-hmm. I am grateful that now I'm in a position that I talked about that at the conference a couple years ago. I told all my business, right? Mm-hmm. And Love Bug was sitting in that audience. Mm-hmm. Our niece. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sissy was sitting in that audience. Mm-hmm. So she's aware of what Auntie went through. Mm-hmm. So if you ever struggle with that, you know that that Auntie made it through. You see what right. I'm saying?
Amen. She's, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm, you know, I was happy for all the other people in the room too, but I'm like, if I'm going to be raw, open, and transparent, I'm going to do it in front of my niece's eyes. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to, you will not go through what Auntie went through.
You don't have to.
You know what I mean? You don't mm-hmm. have to. We done fought, we done army crawled, we done been through the mud, we done got cut, we done got beat up. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that she won't necessarily have to go through a test, but mm-hmm. it is possible. And I'm praying that it will be quick, thorough, and she will know that there is power in her words mm-hmm. and that she'll be rooted and grounded enough in the word, rooted and grounded in her identity, which you talk about often, in mm-hmm. God, that she knows mm-hmm. she doesn't have to stand for this. She doesn't have to walk in the spirit of isolation or fear. She doesn't right. have to keep to herself about that. But the power is when you open up your mouth.
Right.
The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb mm-hmm. and the word of our testimony.
Right.
It's okay to be open and honest in the moment. We don't have to wait until we conquer these things over. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, that was 2 years ago. I dealt with that. Oh, that was when I 10 years ago. No. What are you dealing with right now? And it's okay to find somebody you feel safe talking to, find that safe space, share, and open up. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was good stuff when you're talking about those conversations that need to happen from generation to generation. And it's that bridging that I that it feels like, that bridging, that passing through from one to the other, that sometimes gets lost in translation, or they never talked to me, but that was their version of protecting you.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a trope that you see a lot in television and films. Like when the superhero is trying to keep his identity secret until his family get in trouble. And then the family is like, well, how come you didn't tell me that all of this was going on? I was trying to protect you. You didn't need to know all of that stuff. And it always backfires every single time. And so that's why parents need to learn how to have these conversations with their children. That's something that I ran into in my teenage years again, was when I was walking around melancholy and depressed and messed up. Dad pulled me aside and was like, what's wrong with you, boy? I was like, nothing, I'm fine. He was like, listen, you can't hide from me. I know exactly how you're feeling because you have my face. That's what he said. You have my face. So I know how I was feeling when I was making those expressions at your age. And so he was able to have an open and honest dialogue with me so that I didn't make some of the same mistakes that he made. And that is something that is so missing, especially I think, I don't know. I think in the African-American community where a child should stay in a child's place. And there's a lot of sit down and be quiet and stay out of grown folks' business when they should be learning from grown folks. They should be learning all the stuff that you went through, all the stuff that messed you up. They shouldn't have to go through those same things because you went through them. I like to say that a smart man will learn from his mistakes, or a smart person will learn from their mistakes, but a wise person will learn from the smart person's mistakes. The wise person doesn't have to go through the same thing.
Come on,
I
facts.
Saw you went that way. I saw you got your head busted open. Mm-hmm. I don't gotta go that way. Okay, let's try something different, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that's really, really important. And I think that was one of the major points that I pulled from the movie when it comes to the whole generational gap, is that when them soldiers came through, they was like, yo, we getting beat and we need some help. One thing that I noticed, though, is that they immediately started throwing bodies at the problem. Like, yo, come on, we need soldiers, instead of actually trying to figure out, we got 30 years before they get here. And the best thing you can do is throw soldiers at it. 30 years, we can prepare now. We can get some stuff together right now, okay? We can figure out where they came from. We can make sure we have the devices that can fight them. We can start developing weapons and whatever. There were so many other ways that they could have gone, found a solution, rather than just bringing the people from the past into the future and then just dropping them out the sky. Because that's literally what they did. I was like, y'all couldn't think of nothing better than this. Anyway, I digress. Let's move on. So, just stupid. Well, another thing, the importance of vision.
Yeah.
That I felt like the movie was talking about. Because the importance of vision, they were able to see the future in real time. And this is what, and I know you're affected by this. I know I'm affected by this. Us being the visionary type people we are, we can see it so clear in our mind's eye. We can we can feel it almost. We can write it down and be so explicit with it. But then we have to actually put in the work and wait until it comes to pass. In the movie, they were able to see the vision in real time. They did the same thing in Meet the Robinsons when he went to the future. So like he was struggling in his past. He didn't know how he was going to make it through. And then he got the opportunity to literally pick up from where he was from and get dropped off into his future. And
can we talk about how he created the opportunity for him to go to the future?
My God, on today, don't want to break it down. Cause he's the one who made the time machine.
He's the one who made the time machine, and he didn't even know. Yes, he saw a glimpse of his future when everything came to fruition at the end, but had he been still in that moment, he already was in the midst of his future.
My God, on today.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's why I love that movie so much, because we always kind of scratch I'm the same way, like, God, but I see it.
Mm-hmm.
How many years is we gonna wait to get to that point?
Right.
But he had to go back because becoming who you're supposed to be is in the process. Not time. In that destination. Do you know what I mean? It's right, in the scraped knees. It's in the conversations. It's in the, oh, I lost this one, but I won this one. And I learned this in losing, and I lost, and I learned this in winning. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It takes those years to get you where you're at that point. And even when you feel like you arrived or you've met that goal that you have in your mind, you realize you're going to still desire more things. I got to this point, but I still have other goals I want to reach. I still have bigger dreams here. So it's not necessarily the destination that we're all craving. It's the fact that I dreamt something and I'm working towards it. Mm-hmm. When you're like, it's hard to be like, but I see this, I want this, I need this. And you get there and you're like, oh snap, yes, I did this, woohoo. Mm-hmm. What's next?
What's next? Exactly. I found that out a long time ago when I used to set money goals, and I used to say I need to save $2,000. And then after I got the $2,000, I'll be like, all right, I got $2,000. Like, what am I going to do with this?
Right.
You know? And so there's always something else. There's always something next. One thing. A speaker that I listen to named Inky Johnson says is that you need to, in order to really be a champion, you need to separate yourself from the end results.
Mm-hmm.
And fall in love with the process, regardless regardless of what the end is going to be. If you fall in love with the workout and not the goal of having a nice body, if you fall in love with the food that you're eating and in the process of losing the weight, you're going to develop a lifestyle that not only gets you to your goal, it's going to get you so far beyond your goal. So that's the kind of stuff that just jumps out at me when you were talking about that stuff. But so anyway, it's like back to the vision. What the vision brought, I guess his name was Dan Forrester.
Mm-hmm.
So what the vision brought him was motivation, determination, hope. It also brought some anxiety and it also brought some worry. But the vision, having that vision, being able to see his future in real time, gave him something that a lot of people don't have. You know what I'm saying? And so him actually getting to see his daughter, having a relationship with her, but then he watched her die. He watched her sacrifice herself for the greater good. But that's not where it ended. After he witnessed all of this stuff, after he saw all of this stuff, then he gets pulled back 30 years and now he gets to do something about it. And everybody doesn't get that opportunity because, again, our vision is so far off. From where we are to where God has taken us, there's time in between that. But in these movies, in these films, these directors and these artists can show us what it looks like in real time to walk into your vision, to step into your future. But that, in realistically, we have to wait. You know what I'm saying? We gotta wait on time. We gotta wait on development. We gotta wait on the process. But he got to see it in real time, and then he got pulled back, and he was able to change it. That's the big thing. He was able to change that future. He doesn't have to just deal with the loss of the door. He can save it at this point. And so that's really, really something about vision that a lot of us need to take on. And then if you think about it, there was like Dan, after he went to the future, experienced all that stuff and went back, he had his motivation and he had a little goal that ended up being a huge goal, if that makes sense.
Can I interject for a moment? He had his motivation of saving his daughter, but he also had that real-time conversation with his daughter about what happened along the way. Mm-hmm. So he was able to kind of take that and make a change in that area too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For the time that he did have when he went back, he was able to mend some things. He was able to have a different perspective about how he can let people in and still protect his family. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because where I felt like he would have continued to try to distance himself and from his father, he chose to, I can't do this by myself.
Right.
I need my wife. I need my baby. And even though it hurts to say, I need my dad.
I need my dad. Wow.
You know?
So that's a whole nother generation, because he had to go back and get help from his dad.
And that's the point, though.
Right.
We, all of us together, can right. make this thing possible. Like, mm-hmm. we have visions and we have dreams, but it wouldn't be possible without mom and dad. It wouldn't be possible without the conversations with grandma, without our aunties and uncles. And right. this is not something that just popped up in us. That has to be something that was planted piece by piece from the generations who come before us. Do you see mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So right. I think it's so, I mean, we're always fighting, like you're saying, we're always fighting a tomorrow war, yes. And even about your like seed time and harvest, mm-hmm. there's, you have to plant a seed, which was planted, right? For their, between their relationship, mm-hmm. A father and daughter, because she still loved him enough to go visit, to go see him. You know what I mean? She right. still loved him enough to put that, be like, oh, you know, dad got called in. I know that I can, let's see if I can still lean on him in this way. She was a little hesitant about it, but mm-hmm. she was like, but I still love my father enough and have that relationship with him enough to be like, I can trust him to come out at least for me. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So, but mm-hmm. that was a seed that he planted in her when she was younger, though.
When she was eight, right.
That was mm-hmm. that seed that she was feeding off of, right? But there was time. That was that 30-year gap that mm-hmm. you were saying. There was still time. And then he thought he lost a harvest, but he had this opportunity to regain it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he went back, his motivation and everything changed, because now he knows what his daughter's going to do in the future, or a possible timeline. He saw it clear. Like, she's out here trying to save the world. Now it's mm-hmm. my opportunity. Now it's my turn to save her. And again, that small picture versus the big picture. His small mm-hmm. picture, all I want to do is save my baby. That's it. That's mm-hmm. it. That's all. I saw my daughter sacrifice herself. I saw my daughter get eaten by these monsters, and I'm not going to let that happen. So that small picture motivated him to take certain actions and to make certain decisions that ended up in the bigger picture of him saving the entire world. Because that's what it took. I was just trying to save my daughter. That's my motivation. Because mm-hmm. I want to make my family proud. When I go to work every day, they call me Savage. And so that Savage, I'm carrying mommy with me. I'm carrying my dad with me. I'm carrying you with me. I'm carrying my wife with me. So that's my little picture, is I just want to make my family proud. When people see my wife, I want them to be like, oh yeah, that's Mike's wife. She got it going on. She's going to be all right. That's all I want to do, is make my family proud. I want to establish God's kingdom in the earth. I want my purpose and everything to show. I'm going to be able to execute that thing. And that's just a little picture, okay? But even in that little picture, the larger implications of me stepping into my purpose and making my family proud is impacting a lot of people's lives, is doing things like this podcast, doing things like the videos, doing things like mentoring and coaching people, making disciples. I'm impacting other people's lives. I'm impacting the world at large by focusing on my small picture. My little picture is just to make my family proud, just to make my wife smile. That's it. That's all I'm going to do. And he had that same thing. I just want to save my daughter. I'm not a hero. I just want to save my daughter. But he had to go find these alien monsters, and he had to go kill them all, which basically saved the entire world. And I think that's just dope. And a lot of us need to start thinking like that. It's not the big thing that we need to focus on. It's not the huge thing that we need to focus on. It's that one little reason why you get up every morning. Is it your wife? Is it a child? Is it your purpose? Whatever wakes you up out of bed, focus on that one little thing. And then the big picture is going to show itself. The actions that you should take, they'll be evident to you. The decisions that you need to make is going to be evident to you. So people need to get that small picture versus the big picture.
I have a quote that I say often, and I use a lot in just in my workshops and in my teachings. I say that you are a piece of the puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And without you, we're not whole, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hearing in your point is that owning your piece of the puzzle is where it begins.
That's good.
Do you know what I mean? Which is interesting that you said that. Like, I feel like my motivating factor, honestly,
mm-hmm.
And this has been my prayer for years, is I just want to be an arrow that points to God.
Mm.
That's what I want my whole life to be. I want to be an arrow that points to God. When you see me, if you're inspired, or you get a giggle, or you just be like, how is she so positive, or so on and so forth, like, I want you to know that if you inquire, like, it's not just me out here by myself. It is 100% with the help, with the with me leaning everything I have on the Lord. And just like, I actually got encouraged this last couple of weeks. I had a video from a workshop over the summer. I think I showed it to you, and I was like, that's me. Like, and I think I showed it to you, and I showed it a couple other people. And what I heard from one of my best friends was, she was watching it and she was crying. And I was like, and my other best friend was like, why are you crying? But we were unpacking that. But one thing she said, she was like, that's a different level of you, but that's you. That's who you've always been. And I was, and like, you know, you hear what your friends say. So I heard it. But then last week I was having a conversation with another really great friend. We were taking a walk, and I showed it to her, and I was like, I can't believe, like, wow, this is amazing. Like, God used me in this way. And she was like, yeah, but that's who I've always seen you to be. That's who I've always known you to be. I was like, wow. All right, God, this, I was like, at this point, this is twice. Like, what are you saying? And then the next day, I can't make this stuff up. I was talking about one of the kiddos that I was the camp counselor for. Don't you know, I walked into a Tires Plus, and he was like, Miss Becky, is that you? And I was like, what? And so we proceeded to have like an hour and a half conversation. And a part of that conversation, he was like, Miss Becky, I'm not surprised that that's what you want to do with your life, because that's always who you've been. I mean, verbatim. And he was like, he's like, you, and he was naming off like some other counselors at the time. And he was like, you guys put your whole being into us as kids. And so he's like, so I'm not surprised that this is like where you are now and what you're trying to do with yourself, because that's always who you've been as a person. So I was like, all right, that's three.
I got it.
So I think what I needed to learn was, which is circling back to your point, what I needed to find in me was the confidence and who God created me to be. Wow. To see it for myself.
Wow.
So I'm praying, God, let me be an arrow pointing to you, but I'm also not allowing my full light to shine. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't in a place where I could own it. Mm-hmm. And that means flaws and all. That means owning the words that come out of your mouth, even if people don't take them the right way. I said it. I'm sorry you didn't take it the right way, but I have to own the fact that, yeah, I said it. You know what I mean? I got to own that, you know, I am worthy of. I am worthy of where I am. I am worthy of where I'm going in this moment. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I have wisdom. I have something to offer. Do you know what I mean? So in me owning that, and me not being afraid to live my life out loud, if you will, it's owning my piece of the puzzle. And once I own and accept my piece of the puzzle, then I can go out and be my little nugget of saying that I am an arrow pointing to Christ. I am an arrow that says that, you know, my Heavenly Father looks out for me. The Holy Spirit, we have chats often. You know what I mean? And me being who God called me to be and moving into purpose is affecting and impacting other people, who in turn impact other people, who in turn impact other people. Wow. So his little nugget was his daughter to go save the world. Like you're saying, what is your one thing? And when you own what your one thing is, and not try to look around and covet other people's one thing, and being content in your one thing, you'll learn that my piece of the puzzle is as significant, is as important, is as unique, and is as necessary as any other piece of the puzzle.
My God,
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
That's all I'm saying, and I'm done.
My God, on today. So that's big picture versus little picture. Another thing that I saw in the movie was, again, and this goes to him or him to be able to, him being able to see his vision in real time or see the future in real time is being able to see the potential realized. So when he got drafted, his daughter was 8 years old, right? Digging holes in the backyard. She's looking for, I forget what she said. She's looking for, you know, antibodies or whatever. Mm-hmm. So she's looking for stuff in the backyard. Then he shoots to 30 years later, and she is literally leading the forces of mankind.
Period. That's your baby. That's your baby.
Seeing the potential of his child literally realized in a moment. She goes from 8 to literally leading an army. She goes from 8 to literally being a colonel. She goes from 8 to literally being the scientist that's out here trying to save the world.
Looking for, you know, antibodies. Hey!
Looking for antibodies. That's what they want my guy on today, right? So we need to be able to see us as human beings, bringing it back to us. We need to be able to see that kernel in the 8-year-old. And that's one of the things that you're good at, is you see the potential in these kids. So children are not just children. They are men and women that will one day be leaders, world changers, influencers, decision makers. And we need to see them as such. Your son, your daughter is a man or a woman in seed form. And how you plant them and nurture them is going to have worldwide implications. And that's what we all need to understand, that little Ray Ray is a president. Like little Samantha is the Secretary of State. She's a judge, she's a police officer. She can do anything she wants with her life. You need to understand that these people, these young people, these kids that are in your house that you're raising are one day going to come out of your house, and they are going to have an impact on somebody else's life. You got to realize that you're raising somebody's husband. You're raising somebody's wife. You're raising somebody's teacher. You're raising somebody's president, secretary, somebody's congressman or woman. Like, you're raising somebody that is eventually going to make decisions that are going to affect somebody else's life.
And you want to live around long enough for them to make decisions that affect you.
Right.
And are those decisions based off of, they're going to be based off of what they were seasoned with as a child.
Exactly.
Right. And mm-hmm. this is why, and like, I have a heart and I have a passion specifically for children, for kiddos, because I remember the moments when I felt like I wasn't listened to, or I wasn't heard, or nobody saw me for being me. So I made it my mission. And I feel like this is a part of me going through what I had to go through when I was a kid, right? Because it gave me a fierce passion to not let that happen again. Mm-hmm. So when I go out my way to be kind to everyone, but specifically children, I want to let them know that I see them. Mm-hmm. That even though I'm gonna still tell you to sit down and you need to calm down for a minute, I want to hear why you're so frustrated and angry. I want you to know that your voice and how you feel and what you're going through is still valid. There's still consequences to your action. Yes, we will have to deal with that consequence. But hearing where you were, where you are in that moment, and how you got to that point is also a necessary part of this conversation, or how this scenario unfolds. I think what people need to realize about seeing the greater potential, or seeing what children can be, that can be deterred and that can be muddled by how you treat them when they're in your hands.
Wow.
I had my camp counselor when he was 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. That camper that I ran into. Mm-hmm. I want to say he like 19, 20 at this point, if not a couple years older.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he still remembers the impact that I had on him when he mm-hmm. was those age, when he was that age.
Right. Right.
I know there's teachers that will pop in your mind now that have made a mm-hmm. difference, either good, bad, or a difference that pop up. Mm-hmm. And it's not just parents. Yes, parents, you know, be mindful of the people in your house, be mindful of the kids that you're developing, growing, but it's teachers, it's crossing guards, it's cashiers, whoever you run into, these children, everybody is unique and necessary. Don't beat mm-hmm. them up when they're in your hands, even if it's for a moment. Mm-hmm. And maybe not beating them up, but somebody's telling, and sometimes telling them, no, 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 we don't do that. Mm-hmm. You're better than that. You can make a better choice than that. You need to have a seat for a minute. Okay. I hear that you're frustrated. I get it. Go ahead. Take your time to yourself. But we're going to circle back around to this. You don't have to run and you don't have to hide and you don't be, have to be fearful of these children's emotions. We all got them. Mm-hmm. We all had to go through this process. Mm-hmm. You can't go from 5 to being 10 because you want to. Mm-hmm. You still going to have to walk through 6, 7, 8, and 9 to get to them 2 handfuls.
Come on. Mm.
Don't forget that. And kids are just experiencing this for the first time. They never been 17 before, but who has? You?
You? Come on. You were 17, wasn't you?
You know? Mm-hmm. So I try to be mindful always of what I'm putting out in the world. I don't always get it right because who does? But I am mindful of it. And if that means even like with the kids in your life, sometimes it's just saying sorry. Mm-hmm. And not just pulling the, because I told you so. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like you said, the child in the child's place, you know what? I was wrong. And mm-hmm. I can own the fact that I was wrong. You were actually right about that. Okay? Mm-hmm. Humble me a little bit, huh? What?
What is up, good people? This is Mike Savage, and I wanted to come on and personally thank you for listening to my podcast. Do me a favor. If you enjoyed it, give it 5 stars. If you know somebody who needs to hear this message, share it with them. If you want to keep up with my content, follow me on Instagram at razorsedge_podcast and on Facebook at Savage Lifestyle Solutions. If you want to reach me or book me to speak, reach out to me by my email address, michaelsavagespeaks@gmail.com. I love you and I look forward to hearing from you.
Huh? This doesn't feel nice to do, but I'm going to do it because it's right. Okay? Right.
And because I'm trying to develop you the proper way.
Come on. Mm-hmm. It's not going to feel nice all the time. It's not going to all be sunshines and rainbows all the time. And that's okay. But you can make it through sunshine and rainbows just like you can make it through a storm. And hold up, you don't get the rainbow without the storm. Come on, talk about it.
Come on, somebody, huh?
The rain? Sun ain't never shining bright. What it's called,
huh? I wish somebody would preach on today.
That's all I'm saying. But won't he do it?
But won't he do it? So, but I'm sorry. One of the things he did say in the movie was, I was meant to do something special in my life. And this is like right in the beginning of the movie. And he's saying that while he's got his daughter wrapped up in his arms, I was meant to do something special in my life. And in his mind, he's thinking, I'm gonna go be this research scientist. I'm gonna go do this. I'm gonna go do this. I'm gonna go do that. I'm gonna go do that. His mind is elsewhere. How come he didn't realize that the something special he had to do in his life was to raise that little girl that was in his arms? How come he didn't, how come it never dawned on him? I'm supposed to do something special in my life. Being a father is special. That's why I'm trying so hard to get there. Somebody, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, raising somebody, developing another human being to one day take the lead in this world, developing another human being that's going to have worldwide implications, that's going to have influence in somebody else's life. That is something special to do with your life. And that's why me and Desi are striving so hard to make that happen in our own life, you know, to be able to get somebody a little savage, you know what I'm saying, and raise them upright, you know. You all right? The people's is coming for you.
I try to mute it, but in the meantime, hold on. Father, cover wherever they're going, Lord. Okay, cover them and surround them, and you know, keep them safe, Lord, in Jesus' name. But listen, I hear you, But also, like, that is something special, and that is something that you guys as a couple are working on. But also, we can't negate God's timing. And you know what? His revealed timing either. You know what I mean? He didn't know at the time that what he was saying was in his hands.
Wow.
But through time and process, right? He was able to understand that. We don't know what's in our hands. We don't know what's right in front of our noses, right? We have these desires and goals. But we don't know that moment that God's gonna be like, boom, this is what I've been preparing for you. You know what I mean? That's why we can't negate the season that we're in. You know, in that moment, he didn't know he was speaking life to his daughter.
Wow.
Until you flash forward and you realize and you see how everything's unfolding. You know what I mean? And not even just speaking life to your daughter. What's in your hand? Speaking life to your ideas that you have, or wanting to work somewhere, or your desires. Like, your words have power now. They will shape and frame what comes next.
Tomorrow will come on.
Period. Yes. Right? They will shape and frame what comes tomorrow. So we have to be mindful of what's coming out of our mouths, and we have to be, I'm not going to say, it's really being content in your moment, but still having hope for what's next. And that's
hard.
That's a hard thing to balance, right? Right? Like, I'm like, I want to be content where I'm at, and I want to remain grateful where I'm at. But Lord, I see, like we said, we're visionaries. We have thoughts, we have dreams, we have goals, and you see them clearly in your mind. And you're like, but I desire that door, God. Like, I desire to be in a position where I can employ and staff other people and build that covenant between my company and what we're doing in the earth, and bringing them alongside and cutting that covenant with their families, that we're going to revenue, you know, we're going to generate enough revenue that's going to be able to provide for you, to give you an excellent benefit package, and so on and so forth. I desire that. And if it's that strong at me, I feel like working towards those goals and those dreams is a necessary need, but I can't negate the fact that me working in this elementary school right now is not also making an impact. It's not also significant in what I desire to do. So I still need to steward, which is one of your big words. I still need to steward that moment. I need to be content in where I'm at, to the level that I can still work in excellence, right? That I can still bring my A game to where I'm at. Because if I don't bring my A game now, when I'm gonna surprisingly appear and bring my A game tomorrow?
Nah.
That's not how that works.
Nah, that's not how it works at all.
Whoever you are here in this moment is just gonna be a reflection of who you are there in that moment.
Come on, two things. Number one, they say money is money doesn't change you. Money exposes you. So whatever you were when you were broke, if you get money, you're just gonna be more of that. And then another thing is, Inky Johnson always says, you never rise to the occasion, you revert to what you've practiced. So we think that once the moment hits, we're gonna rise up and become this champion, but that's not the way it goes. You're going to revert back to what you've been doing. So if you've been mediocre, when the opportunity arises, you're gonna fall back on mediocrity. If you've been lazy, when the opportunity arises, you're gonna fall back on lazy. So you have to put into practice those things that you want to exhibit when your opportunity comes. So
right, you can't expect to have good employees if you've been a horrible employee.
My God, on today.
Because you listen, and I've been one before, okay? But you know, with each job, with each position, I realized that, I guess, it shifted when I got that job at the Y, because that locked in where I knew my vein was, and that was working and pouring into children, whether it's directly or being in a position where I'm running now, or I'm making sure that the building itself is being run properly, that I'm making sure that their arrival and dismissal is going well. I'm still doing it to affect the children. And so my focus isn't, I need to get this task done. My focus is, I need to make sure that these students come to the building safely and they leave the building safely and they arrive back into the hands of their families safely. That's my motivating factor when I'm at work. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not, no, I gotta come in here, clock in, clock out. No. The morning announcements that I make an impact on starting off their day. So I'm going to make sure that I'm encouraging and I'm uplifting so I can send these kids off to have a wonderful day. When I wrap up the day and I call these buses at the end of the day, I'm going to make sure that they remember that you matter and those around you matter. Okay. So if you hit Jimmy in the head today at recess, you might need to go and apologize because not only you matter, but Jimmy matter too.
Jimmy matters too. Okay?
That's all I'm saying.
Stop trying to bust him in his dome piece.
Stop it.
What did Jimmy do to you?
So I hear you. Like, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. It's so good. Do you hear me though, eh?
Okay, next point. Responsibility versus the dream. This is something that I heard Ty Trevor talk about a long time ago. But so many, especially when it comes to men, there's been this almost habit or this pattern of leaving their wife, leaving their family in order to pursue the dream. Or not necessarily leaving, but neglecting their family life, neglecting their children because they're trying to make something happen at work or they're trying to make something happen that's their dream that they feel is their purpose. At the end of the movie, after he got finished going to the snow and killing all these alien monsters, at the end of the movie, he was bringing the trash can back in, like he took out the trash. Yes, you just saved the world. Yes, you just destroyed an alien threat. Yes, you just basically killed this monster with your bare hands. Now, what you need to do is take out the trash like you're supposed to, okay? So that was his responsibility, and that's what I have to understand. That's a lesson that I'm still in the process of learning, is that my first responsibility is to my family. My first responsibility is to take care of and love on Desi and to make sure she's treated well and to make sure she's taken care of. And then everything else comes secondary to that responsibility, even in the word that says that God will not hear your prayers if you are, you know, if you got beef with your spouse. He said, if you have an issue with your brother and you about to sacrifice an offering, leave your offering where it is, go make amends with your brother and then come back and do the offering.
Did he not say obedience is better than sacrifice, huh?
That's what he said, huh? So how can we say we love God whom we haven't seen, but we hate our brother who we see every day? Like little stuff like that. We have a responsibility to each other. We have a responsibility to our families. We have a responsibility to our community that comes first, that comes before the dream, that comes before the vision. And so that's why sometimes it gets so difficult, because you have to find the energy and the strength somewhere to do both of them for a little while. And that's what's so difficult, is that you got to go to work and work a full day. And you got to make sure you have money coming in on the regular to support your family, to support the needs of the home. And then you're still going to have to take an hour or two a day to work on your dream, to work on the purpose, to work on what God has put inside of you. And that becomes difficult. That becomes taxing. But if you do it for long enough, if you don't give up, if you endure the hard times, then eventually that dream and that purpose is going to be able to take care of you and be able to take care of your responsibility. At least that's the hope. At least that's the goal. I haven't experienced that yet.
But that's there's so many examples of what you're saying in the Word of God, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even what you're saying with taking care of your responsibility at home, David, right? Mm-hmm. Came back to visit his family. His father asked him to deliver this over to his brothers. But before he delivered it over to his brothers, he made sure that the sheep were taken care of, right?
My God, on today. Huh?
He took care of his responsibility in order to run this errand for his pops, right? That took him right into his next phase or his next chapter in his life, fighting Goliath.
Step four.
You skip over that part that he still took care of what was at home before he got on the road to take care of that message from his dad, or to send that, you know, to give that stuff to his brother, a little food, a little fruit pack, you know, a little snack pack.
Right. little snack pack, some
little cheese. Snack pack to his brother, some cheese and some bread. Okay, a little appetizer. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hold up, press pause.
See what I did there?
So what was he talking about? We were talking about
I stopped though. I was just talking about David.
About
taking care of responsibility.
Right, yeah. And he took the food to his brothers after he made sure that the sheep were taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, man.
Mm-hmm.
So did you like the movie though?
I think the movie arc was really good. It turned out differently than I deduced in my mind.
Right.
So I like when a movie surprises me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I watch a whole bunch of Hallmark love movies and love stories, and I can be like, right. That's the one you're going to fall in love with. Oh, it's about time for them to have the argument that breaks them up before they come back together. Like, I like rom-coms. And like, even with other movies that I watch, I enjoy being able to try to figure it out. I just think it's fun. I think that's just something that, you know what? He look a little evil over there. Yeah, I don't know. It's something about that Eileen right there. I think he's trying to tell me something, okay? I think he's foreshadowing in this moment. But the movie, I feel like, was well written.
Uh-huh.
I think it was wonderfully cast.
Yeah.
They kept me laughing throughout this whole daggone movie. I was giggling, giggity, giggity, okay? And the story, I felt like, was multi-leveled, and I enjoyed that. So I if it wasn't so scary to see the monsters, the aliens, I would watch it again, but I can't take it. So I'm not going to be able to take it. It took 2 days, but I did have it did pop up in my dreams, okay?
Did it. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. What are you saying sorry for? You weren't with me when I was watching it, bruh. Like, it's okay. They popped up. They popped up, and I was like, well, it did take 2 days, though. It wasn't that same night, so thank you, Lord, for the one night of good sleep. It popped up. Man, I Psalms 91, let me tell you something.
Right?
I ain't scared of you.
Uh-huh.
I bind this in the name of, I sure did. I opened me up a scripture and I used my words. I ain't have another nightmare since in Jesus' name. Won't he do it?
Won't he do it?
Power in your words.
Control of that. Yep. I thought it was good too for what it was, you know.
I mean, I don't think it was amazing, but I thought it was a good story.
Nah, it was definitely a better story than I thought it was going to be, because I thought it was just going to be alien monsters. And I've seen that movie before, you know.
And I was like, oh yeah, I know exactly what's gonna happen. And then it didn't happen. I was like,
and it didn't happen like that at all. Like, right? You know who was my boy? The volcano kid. He was like, that was my man. He was like,
all y'all had something to say.
Back then they ain't want me, but now I'm hot. They all own me. Like, what's up?
You may see me on the street, but you don't know me. Okay. Look who's laughing
now.
Look who's laughing now. Go ahead and give me the laptop. Right click, left click, right click, Google. Let me tell you about it. Yeah, he was hysterical. I love that.
Did you say everybody with this Melvin want to talk about? Volcanoes.
He's
like, you don't want to hear about volcanoes?
This is great.
You're welcome. Okay?
He said, anybody but anyone else. Anyone. Okay.
And that was something else. If you know the world going into 30 years, why am I still in school? Because these are the people that's going to die to these monsters. Like, literally, sitting in this classroom. I'll be mad too. Like, yo. I don't care nothing about the Dewey Decimal System. I don't care nothing about the mitochondria. I don't care nothing about photosynthesis. Teach me how to fight, like, right now. Because, like, for what? What am I in class for?
Get me out of here. As a, on a just in case? Huh? On a just in case?
Nah. I'm homeschooled from now on. Because, no, like, for what? Shoot. That's crazy. Why would you even do that to yourself? That's ridiculous. So anyway, do you have anything in closing?
I was trying to mute myself until everybody out here riding bikes and stuff. What are y'all doing out here?
Is the biker boys out there?
They make their own rules, but not on my block is really what I'm trying to say.
Right?
Not on my block. I'm trying to do something. No, in closing, I think the movie itself was good. I think it's always fun to kind of look deeper and how art imitates life, which I think, you know, a lot of people get into that business for. It was just, I thought it was really good. The little nuggets that got pulled out of it.
Right.
Again, I will never watch it again because it shook me.
Come for it.
It shook me.
Did you hear what his dad, J.K. Simmons, you hear what he said at the end? He said, did you just tell it to die?
Yeah. Why didn't you say that sooner?
And it did? How come you ain't trying that sooner? Yeah.
Die. Yeah. That man, the power of your words. I mean, he did have to beat that thing up. That's the part I fast forward through because I was like, I can't take this anymore. But two of my favorite parts towards the end is when the really smart guy was tearing that thing up. He's like, you ain't gonna punk me this time. He chopped that mug up. He's like, not today, Satan. Not today. He's like, we don't even worry about me. I know exactly what I'm getting scared of you. And then he was like, I'ma die when I wanna die. Yeah. That was good.
I knew that was going down.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But you notice, if you think about it, because the people that were going to the war were gonna die within the next 30 years anyway. And the people that came back weren't born yet, right? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the movie when they blew up the ship, really nobody died if you think about it, because the dude he was gonna die in 6 months anyway. He's right, and then the people that came, those were the people, the soldiers that came from the future, so they wasn't even born yet. Mm-hmm. So they just gonna die in that ship and then they're gonna be born again and then they just gonna live their regular life
and it's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right.
Boom.
And also I also knew they was gonna die because number one and number two on the sheet was outside the cave.
So was outside, right?
That's, if we're gonna keep it 100. If we're gonna keep it 100, right? They was on the outside of the cave. I was like, we know for sure they gonna make it.
The main characters is outside.
Their main characters, them, that one, two?
Uh-huh.
They out there, so somebody gonna have to die in this situation because they acting up in this cave, so.
You know what I'm saying?
It's gonna be all. R.I.P. Mm-hmm. R.I.P.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Oh,
hey,
we did it.
Thank you for doing this for me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Third time's a charm.
I owe you a video.
Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. I mean,
In Tomorrow War, Sam Richardson's character Charlie was by far my favorite part of the movie. Yes, he was the comic relief, but to me, he was the most human and realistic character. He was honest and upfront about how he was feeling. He was terrified when he saw the white spikes coming after him, which most people would be. His reactions were absolutely human. The questions that he asked and the observations that he made were always on point. The realest thing he did in the whole movie was hide to make sure that he could survive and make it home. How many of us are hiding from terrifying situations in our life? And just like Charlie, we feel terrible about it. We know that while we are hiding, someone else is out there fighting the good fight, putting their life on the line so that all of us can survive. It's time for us to come out of hiding and do our part. Now, clearly, I'm not talking about an alien invasion or even a physical battle, but are you hiding from your purpose? Are you hiding from sharing your story with someone? Are you hiding from taking a leap of faith? Are you hiding from taking that next step in your career? Stop hiding from your life and start fighting to make your life memorable and meaningful. Remember, you were not a mistake. You, my friend, are a solution. I love you, and I'll see you on the next one.